A new term to help understand the escalating U.S.-China trade rhetoric, it's deflection. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Beijing has now responded after President Trump yesterday called for an additional $100 billion set of tariffs on China. This is on top of the $50 billion previously announced and separate steel and aluminum penalties. China's Commerce Ministry says it's prepared to fight the U.S., quote, at any cost. China cannot just match Trump's combined tariff number, since the U.S. doesn't export that much to China in a year. But it has many other ways to make life tougher for U.S. companies. Some in the administration have been trying to assuage financial markets by suggesting much of this is a negotiating tactic. But how's the view from America's biggest trading partner, Europe? Longtime Marketplace reporter Stephen Beard in London is following this. Stephen, in principle, the Europeans are sympathetic to the U.S. They also think China's a trade cheater.
Very much so. This week we had the European Chamber of Commerce in China supporting the American goals, calling on President Xi, in fact, to resolve this spat by delivering on commitments that the Chinese government has already made. Yes, there is strong sympathy with the U.S. complaint about the theft of intellectual property and unfair restrictions on foreign investment in China, but not sympathy with the tariffs, which the Europeans do not like.
There's also this issue. It's a new term to me. They're calling it trade deflection. Deflection, Europeans are worried about. If the U.S. can't take in products or don't because of the tariffs, Chinese exports could overwhelm Europe.
Yes, we've already seen it with steel. Since the U.S. steel tariffs were mooted at the beginning of this year, imports of rebar into the EU have surged by 12%. Into the UK by a stonking 75%. Obviously, this is bad news for European and British steel producers. So, no, the Europeans don't like the US tariffs for this reason, for trade deflection, but also there's the fear of the ultimate danger of this whole thing spiraling into a global trade war, which would mean global trade contracting and everyone losing.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you. Always good to talk to you.
And you, David.
Let's check the financial markets. Stock index futures are pointing to a lower opening on Wall Street, with Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures each down about 0.6%. London's 100 share index is also down 0.2% there. Of course, important news is due before the stock market's opening bell today. In about an hour and a half, the government releases its count of payrolls and its survey of households. The forecasts suggest fewer jobs added in March, something around 178,000 jobs. Also, will the unemployment rate drop further? That would be the tightest labor market we've seen in many years. Marketplace's Ryan Kailath is here. So, Ryan, if it hits 4% unemployment later today, we saw this last, it's been a while, 2000, the year 2000.
Yeah, 2000. And to be clear, the jobless rate is currently 4.1%. So dropping to 4 is more about the milestone than any kind of huge swing. The thing a lot of people are watching, been watching for months of these reports now, is wage growth.
Yeah, I know, right, because even as the labor pool's been shrinking with stories of employers unable to find enough workers to hire, and we haven't really seen big jumps in pay.
Yeah, and boosting wages, that's been one of the main goals of our economic policymakers for a decade now. And pay has been increasing lately, but very slowly. So this month, analysts are expecting 0.3% increase. The prevailing theory is all this job growth right now is just folks who had stopped looking for work who can now find it. So these workers were basically already accounted for. They've just been waiting in the wings, which is one reason there isn't more pressure to raise wages faster.
And say the forecasters got this wrong today, and the number we get in a bit is a lot higher or lower.
I mean, if we underperform expectations, obviously that's a problem. But ironically, overperforming might spook a few people here as well. You know, if there's a ton of new jobs added, huge wage growth, that could signal the economy is finally running too hot. And that would prompt the Fed, the Federal Reserve, to raise interest rates, which, if you remember the stock market panic a few months ago, you know, the markets don't always love a rate hike.
All right. And also we have the crummy weather we saw in March that could affect this report today. Marketplace's Ryan Kailath, thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. Meanwhile, with the China tariffs discussions, we're also not forgetting the North American Free Trade Agreement. There are high-level talks set for today, with the administration hoping for a sketch of a deal with Mexico and Canada maybe this month. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, still a lot of hurdles.
Stumbling block number one, the U.S. has been insisting that 85% of a car's components need to be made in the U.S., Canada, or Mexico to avoid certain tariffs. And those components have to be manufactured according to certain labor standards, or they don't count. Phil Levy is at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs.
You need a $15 an hour minimum wage for things to count. And that's not what pay is in the Mexican auto industry.
There are other hurdles, the U.S. insistence that NAFTA be renegotiated every few years, differences over how to settle trade disputes within the bloc. But Henrietta Treyes of Veda Partners says U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and the other negotiators have a 50-50 chance of reaching some kind of agreement.
Nothing's final until the fat lady sings, really, and they haven't been in a position to sing yet. Lighthizer is effectively saying that this weekend they're going to start singing.
Treyes says they could announce something next week at the Summit of the Americas in Peru. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And General Motors workers in South Korea today busted up the CEO's office there after learning there would be no annual bonus, chairs thrown, other furniture kicked. They even took away the boss's big desk. GM has been pushing for union concessions after pulling back from a threat to close down the South Korean subsidiary, which could still file for bankruptcy. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer is Brian Allison. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.